You are listening to the For Liberos Tech Podcast, episode 124, New Building Blocks at Microsoft. So, speaking of quagmires, are you trying to get out of one?
Oh, yeah. So we are AT&T customers, have been for quite a while. When was it? It's my junior year of college. So that was too long ago. It was
2007.
Yeah, because it was the wow, that was weird. So in my head, that actually, like, we said that in sync, which I think means that in your ears it probably didn't come.
No, we sounded the exact same time to me.
Really? Oh, cool.
That was the year that the original iPhone was released, and that was the reason why I jumped shipped from our Madre over to AT&T.
Yeah, and at that point, I actually didn't have a cell phone because I couldn't afford one, and
still couldn't afford one.
and you were an awesome big bro and helped me out for longer than you should have probably, but I appreciate it a lot. So at this point, I'm sick and tired.
So we've been with them for 5 years now. Is my math right? No, 6 years.
6 years.
Well, it'll be 6 years in, what was it, October or something like that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Something like that.
So this last year, I got a smartphone finally, which I can't believe it's only
been. How many are you on now?
This is my fourth iPhone. If you were listening to the show at the time, obviously I went through my crazy phase where I got a Nokia Lumia 920. I got a Samsung Galaxy S3. They were the top of the line smartphones from the competing companies at the time. I ended up sticking with the iPhone 5 because I like the audio output input better. And that was my primary deciding factor.
Fair enough.
Or at least that's, you know, what I tell everybody to pretend like I'm not just a huge Apple fanboy. I did like the keyboard best on the Lumia. I wish I could go back to that frequently. What was I going to say? So this is the big thing, big deal. I'm set up for the 3 gig plan on AT&T, and I go over my data allotment every month. But mostly, and every time you go over, it costs you $10. So they're charging me an extra $10 every month, and it's just driving me nuts. And I don't get any tethering. If I were to increase my plan to the 5 gig plans, which costs an extra $20 a month, which would bring me to about $70 for my service, I would get 5 gigs and tethering, which would arguably make my data go by even faster. Because I'd be tethering and I could...
Yeah, you'd be tethering.
I'd actually use it, and that would be a bad thing. But I'd still have
to... It's almost like they thought about that.
I know. And at this point, I tell people, it's like, that's just random web browsing. Now, granted, I am a savage web browser. Like, I get that. But I do not stream music.
Did you say savage?
Savage, yeah.
It's savage.
Yes.
Okay, just checking. Not savvy, savage.
New, savage.
I like it.
I burn through 3 gigs a month just looking at pictures, GIFs, and articles. Like I go crazy. I do not stream music. I do not stream video. I do not download anything. Which I think is terrible. I mean, like I can't believe I don't get to stream any music. I just, oh my gosh. It drives me nuts. They drive me absolutely crazy. But I say all that to say T-Mobile...
Do you not have Wi-Fi at your office or something?
I'm
trying to figure out how that works.
My boss doesn't listen to this
show. I don't even get close to that. I do a lot on my phone.
My boss doesn't listen to this show, so I feel like I can say this. I don't think he does. But I'm sure he doesn't. Oftentimes he'll come like to me a week later, hey, did you hear about this technology? Like, yeah, we talked about it on the show like 2 weeks ago. And then I pretend like I didn't so that he can feel all cool. He can't track anything that I'm doing on my phone if I'm over LTE. but and he tracks everything. And he's pretty cool with a little bit of a casual, you know, not doing what you're supposed to as long as you get everything done on time. But, you know, I can get a little carried away. And
So it's not the fact – okay, just to clarify here. What he doesn't like is the fact that you're sucking their bandwidth.
I'm assuming
it's all fixed. But.
Well, it's funny. We do have a bandwidth problem because we do this – we do everything voice over IP and through AT&T, and they've got awful service. Mm. We get like 2 megs down at our office. I get 10 times the service at home. And yeah, I mean, it's just like it's ridiculous.
Fantastic.
I know, and so
I'm almost better.
Yeah. So LTE, not only is it, you know, so not only is my phone does it surf faster, it saves the bandwidth for the company, and I can use it for, you know, stupid things, and my boss will be none the wiser.
All right.
Yeah. So that's the long and short of it. So what I really want is unlimited, and I looked into T-Mobile, and they're I've looked into actually a lot of the different services, and T-Mobile's got the best coverage for my area of living. Actually, they've got great coverage for my area of living, mostly what I do. I've talked to a couple of people, gotten some anecdotal information along with marketing stuff, and I've gotten anecdotal stories that confirm the marketing stuff, so for whatever that's worth. But I think the long and short, you know, for service and usage, but I think the long and short of this is I'm just sick and tired of the whole AT&T. Like, I'm willing to, you know, I'm stuck to a contract. I've got no options. I don't get to try different things, and it drives me nuts. It's stupid things. Like, I'm going to Spain next week for work. By the way, we have to do the show Saturday morning because I'm going to Spain next week for work.
I already scheduled.
Awesome. And when you're abroad, AT&T has these different abroad plans because it's a, you know, it's a global GSM phone. What drives me nuts is that they charge like – it's like you can get like – they've got a plan that's no data, 30 text messages, and like 30 minutes of call time for $10 a month. And you're like, that's nothing. That's useless. And they're like, well, use Wi-Fi. And just, you know, you can use iMessages over Wi-Fi. You can do voice calls over Wi-Fi, and you're good. Unless you're in Europe and they've got bad Wi-Fi coverage because, you know, no Wi-Fi. They don't have, like, free Wi-Fi over there, which is pretty common. And just, like, so, you know, whereas, like, everybody – because everybody in Europe, what they do is they all have contractless phones. So if you switch countries or you switch carriers, you go into the 7-Eleven or, you know, equivalent, and you buy a SIM card for the month you're there. And you just use that SIM card with that number, and all of a sudden you've got access. Well, you know – I can't do, you know, I would do that, but AT&T's, you know, all messed up. And T-Mobile, with their unlimited on everything plan, there's a complimentary 300 minutes of talk time, which is more than enough for me, especially considering the fact that there's unlimited text messages and unlimited data included when you're abroad in over 130 countries. What the
That's
heck
nice.
Is going on? I know. Yeah, and so it's just one of those things where it's just, you know, it's to me it seems like an easy decision. I'm very ready to get over there. But one of the first steps in this whole process, I'm going to actually buy out my own plan because I want to take my iPhone with me so I can get the iPhone 6 when it comes out. And
Well, and T-Mobile will pay your ETF, won't they?
Yes, that is a big thing. You know, I thought it was just for because they were like, we'll buy out your entire family. And I thought you had to get your entire family plan off. That's not the case. You can just do one line at a time. They'll still do it for you, which
nice.
Is pretty cool of them. They will do it up to 5 people, which is nice because a family plan only covers 5 people. The trick is you have to give them your phone or an equivalent phone. It doesn't have to actually be that phone. So if you have like an older, cheaper phone or you bought one offline and then sell yours, you can actually make money in the long run. They'll give you credit. If you've got like a 64 gig iPhone 5S, they're not going to just – they'll give you credit for it so you can get an equivalent phone. But then you also have to buy one of their phones with their 2-year, you know, pricing thing. Which is like, you know, so it's like that adds money to it. And I want to own my phone outright. And I can, and I'm fine with the iPhone 5 until the iPhone 6 comes out with all that sapphire glass, which we'll talk about later. But yeah, so for me, it just seems like a compelling. I've actually looked at the numbers, and it makes sense for me to stick with the iPhone. And the nice part about it is it gets me completely out of contracts. If I want to go back to AT&T because I like the coverage more, I can get AT&T Go. If I want to try out Metro PCS because I'm within their range, which generally I am, I can try out Metro PCS for a month. I can try out, you know, I can do T-Mobile as long as I want or as short as I want. You know, I got so many options all of a sudden. It's the moment that give up AT&T's contract, but this is the big trick. I got to get my phone unlocked. These guys are crazy. Okay, so I went into T-Mobile, and they said, get your phone unlocked as soon as possible because it makes the transition easier. So though AT&T will probably give you guff, but you just have to, like, call them until they let you in. I was like, okay, cool. So I went to the AT&T store, and I asked them, and they said, yeah, you should be able to get it unlocked, even though it's still under contract. They said, it'll just be difficult. So this is what you got to do. Go online and sign the online request form. I was like, okay. And they're like, that's probably not going to work. And especially because at that point I was like, I wanted to go to Spain or I'm going to Spain. I want it unlocked so I can use a SIM card there just so that I have the internet and phone there, even though I'll still be on AT&T. And, you know, I'll still have a contract with AT&T. And they're like, but call in and explain to them what your situation is. I didn't say anything about T-Mobile. I didn't want to hit them with that bat yet. And just explain your situation, and you might have to call back a few times, try to get the right person, see if you can't, you know, unlock, get them to unlock the phone. But once you got the online petition thing going, cause the first thing they're going to do is to tell you to go online and do it. So just get that out of the way. I'm like, okay, fine. So so obviously I called you and said, hey James, can you, you know, go online, you know, you either sign on an account, can you go online, can you do this for me? Cool, no problem, you did that. Like a half an hour later, I call in, and I get this really nice lady on the phone, and I explain to her, I'm like, okay, so this is my deal. I'm going abroad, I've got your abroad plan right now. It is insufficient for what I need. I would like, and I'm not going to get one that is sufficient. So I need an unlocked phone so I can buy a plan while I'm there. You know, it's pretty simple. I just want to do this real quick. And I'd like it done in a week. And she goes, well, your phone's under contract, so we can't do that. It's like, I was like, well, how can I get it done? Because I need this to get done. I need to be able to use a SIM card over there. She's like, you can only do it if you don't have a contract, if you're not under contract. I'm like, well, then I'm going to need to buy out my contract right now so that I can get it unlocked, and then I'm going to go to T-Mobile. I'm going to cancel my plan with you completely. And as soon as I said that, all of a sudden she was like, well, let me talk to a manager and see what we can do. I was like, okay, thank you. I appreciate that. And so, this is my plan. Like, give them the carrot. Hey, I like your service. I'm not leaving you or anything. Don't worry. I just want to do this little crazy thing every once in a while. It's not going to affect you none. Don't worry about it. You know, that was my plan. I was trying to be generous.
Yeah.
But as soon as you come at me, I'm going to threaten you. And I've read enough articles. I know that the key phrase nowadays at AT&T is you say T-Mobile, they freak out. And all of a sudden, you know, doors open. So I get the manager on the line. They're like, it took them like 20 minutes to get on the line. And I'm like sitting there listening, you know.
Wow, really?
I know. And so finally the manager comes on the line and he goes, hey, so this is the deal. I'm like, I got a solution for you. I'm like, okay, cool. And I appreciate that. He goes, so sometimes people find this uncomfortable, but he goes, but this is our solution. He goes, we are not allowed to unlock phones while they're under contract. It's a strict AT&T policy. I was like, okay. And he goes, but we have a workaround. I was like, oh, perfect. I like workarounds. That's fine by me. He goes, this is what we're going to do. We've got $185 left on your contract. You're going to buy out the rest of your contract, cancel your contract. As soon as you don't have a contract anymore, we can unlock your phone. He goes, it takes 48 hours to 5 days maximum. At which point, as soon as it's unlocked, we'll let you know it's unlocked. You call us back. We'll reinstitute your plan. We'll give you a full refund, and then you just you pick up right where you left off. You know, no big deal. You know, none the wiser. Your phone's unlocked. I was like,
sounds great.
So I'm gonna say awesome. So basically, I just have to float, $200 for a week. Yeah, that's not a problem at all. Let's do that. And he goes, well, and your contract's canceled, so you won't have any phone service.
Yes, love it. AT&T wins.
Yeah, like really, really. And I was like, well, I'm not going to be an AT&T customer anymore then. And I was like, Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
And I was just like, well, I can't do this right now because I still need my phone, so I need to figure out what I'm going to do instead, how I'm going to make this work. I absolutely need to happen, so I'm going to call you back. And at this point, I'm just like, well, obviously, I just need to keep calling back. So the next day, it was a busy week at work. Next day, I didn't get a chance to call. I'm like, Wednesday, I'm like, okay, I'm going to call. And Wednesday morning, you forwarded me an email from AT&T. Your request to unlock the phone has been processed. I was like, oh, geez, now here it comes. They're like, and it has been confirmed. So give it 24 hours and your phone will be unlocked. All you have to do is reset your phone and your phone will be unlocked.
Yeah, because I filled out some online form for you. Now, Can you confirm that your phone is indeed unlocked?
Well, so this is the best part. I went on to Apple's website and read through their stuff. And what they say is you need to, if you do not have a different SIM card from a different company, you need to reset your phone in order to complete the unlocking process. But if you have a SIM card from another company, you just pop the SIM card in, you type in your code, you hit one or two buttons and, you follow the prompts and then your phone's unlocked. And I was like, well, okay, that seems like a lot easier solution than completely resetting my phone, especially because at this point it's Wednesday afternoon. I still think I'm going to Spain Saturday morning and going to be on a flight for 15 hours. I've got like 8 shows downloaded on my iPhone. I don't want to like entire seasons. I don't want to have to re-download everything in 2 days and, or like my entire music collection. I don't want to miss anything. I'm like, okay, this is really important. If I can avoid resetting my phone at this moment, that's critical. Well, our dad's already on T-Mobile. So I was like, I called up her mom and was like, hey mom, want to get dinner Thursday night before I go to Spain? Nice. Just, one last hangout. Which, okay, I'm okay. Legitimately,
you told him.
It's been too long since I hung out with our parents, and that's funny. I did want to spend time with them. It just so happened that all of a sudden it was like mission critical that I spend time with them. So Thursday night we sit down to dinner, get out a paperclip, swap SIM cards, make a phone call with our dad's SIM card, shows up as our dad's phone number on our mom's phone, and cool. Phone's unlocked. So, it's funny. I mean, like,
and part of the reason why I ask is I know you gave me that number to put in, yeah. But like, it asked for all of my information. Yeah. So the entire time I'm like, gosh, I hope this doesn't do my phone. It actually does yours.
Yeah.
Because other than that one, whatever that code was,
it's
weird.
It's like the ID. It's different than the serial number. It's like that. I don't know. Yeah. But it's how they actually identify the phone.
Yeah, which is what I figured it was. Because like I said, everything else was mine.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, well, okay, let's. All right. So I'm glad that it worked. Cool.
Yeah.
Now when you do go to España, which by the way, you got to tell me which city you're going to eventually.
Bilbao.
Bilbao?
Yeah.
Where is that on the country?
it's northern Spain. It's Basque country. It's the radicals who want to separate and start their own country.
Okay. Okay.
I'm actually going to be working in the city of Mondragon, but
Mondragon. Okay, so when you go there, you just get a new SIM, pop it in, and whatever that phone number is your phone number, and you're ready to rock, huh?
Right, and there's actually a website that I'm probably going to venture around on this week that you can pre-buy your SIM cards.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, so that you don't have to find them in the airport. It'll tell you what your phone number it is. You can tell all your friends and family, hey, this is my phone number. Mm. So when you get a Spanish phone number, don't worry about it. It's my phone number.
So now, if you called me, am I going to get international charges for talking with you?
I don't know.
Is that how that works?
No.
Okay.
No. I don't think so. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Have you gotten them in the past? I've called you from England. I don't think that's how it works.
Well, I know that's an international plan, but, you know, so I don't know. I always semi-freak out when folks from other countries call me on my cell phone. I'm always like,
how does this work?
Okay, yeah. Let's talk really fast.
So, yeah, I don't know.
I could just look at my bill, I suppose, but I always forget.
I guess what my broader point in all of this is that, or my takeaway from it was, I couldn't believe that, you know, I didn't expect the online request form to work. And, you know, I'm sure what they did, the only explanation I can think is either that it's just they make it really easy for you to do it, or they looked at us and said, we've been with them for six years. Well, I'm midway through a contract. I have an international plan. And they've got a computer that actually does some actuarial tables and asks the question, what's the chances that I'm going to jump to T-Mobile? And if I have an unlocked phone. And they came back as I was low risk. And so they said yes. I mean, I guess
I think you give AT&T way too much credit.
Yeah, okay.
There's absolutely no way a person looked at it, and there was some algorithm that told it to do it. It just took it that long to propagate through the system, and there was someone who reviewed it.
I guess what the question to me was, under what circumstances would they not approve it? Why did they approve me? You know?
I don't know. I think from the online forum standpoint, it's just, yeah, I don't think... You give them way too much credit, man. Way too much credit. I mean, they're conniving people, don't get me wrong. But I'd be shocked if the system were that smart.
I was shocked that they approved it. I figured that was part of what
tells me there's no one looking at it, because they didn't do it when a person was looking at it, or, you know, they were going to play games with you. And they do it this way. Oh, look, it works. Don't even have to try. That's the back door that they don't know about. But.
Right. Yeah, so
I don't know.
Super annoying. But the nice part about
it. So when are you switching over to T-Mobile for realsies?
Yeah, so the game plan is I'm saving the difference of what I'll be paying. It's going to cost me $20 more a month, plus a small amount more a month. I'm putting all that into a savings account. And when that savings account equals the cost of buying out the rest of my contract, I'm going to get out. Boom, lickety-split. And it's looking like, if all stars align, April 20th, the day after my 16th month on AT&T with this contract, I'll be able to do it. And I'll go in and talk to the cute girl that helped me answer all my questions, and the sales girl, and I'll add T-Mobile, and I'll do the deed. I'm looking forward to it, and then I'm going to make T-Mobile sorry that they ever offered free or unlimited internet to anybody. So I will get my money's worth.
And tethering too, right?
Yeah, well, 2.5 gigs complimentary. You know what the greatest part about T-Mobile is? This is actually the part that makes it just fantastic. It's 2.5 gigs of high speed. Mm. After that, it goes down to low speed. There's no overages for using 2.5 gig, more than 2.5 gigs tethering. What? It's inconceivable to me. That is so cool. I'm overjoyed. I'm very excited about all this. Which means from now on, my maps are going to be on my iPad. You know, I'm not going to have that little dinky map that everybody else uses on their phone. I'm going to get the full blown maps app when I'm driving around town, tooling all over the place. It's going to be awesome.
Oh man, that's trouble. Now let's see here, T-Mobile. Let's see where coverage. Where am I?
He's looking it up.
I'm not going to say where I'm at out loud, as if everybody doesn't know already. Hmm. I'm in Arizona. That's where I'm at. with the snow. Flagstaff, actually. It's high enough. It does get snow there. Oh, this is taking forever to load. Come on. Come on.
So we semi-regularly tell everybody where you live because we do everything over Google.
Taking too long. I'll do it later.
Yeah.
All right. Let's cool. So T-Mobile.
Yeah.
I like it.
So this is related if you don't let me jump in over here really quick. So speaking of the iPhone 6, which I'm super excited to buy. Definitely Bosho gonna have sapphire glass displays on the 17-inch iPhone phablet. The iPhablet. I hope they call it that. It's a terrible name. But Google or Apple dropped some serious coin to buy sapphire glass furnaces, which is how you actually manufacture the glass pellet, basically. So have you ever seen how they make glasses for, like, eyeglasses?
No.
So basically you start out with these, like, glass discs that are, like, of a certain refractory, and then they have these tools that actually, like, sand them down and shape them even more and then cut out the shape of the glass, the lens that they want, and you pop them in. But they all start out as these, like, round billets, or thin billets of glass.
Makes sense.
Well, yeah, that basically is the same process they use for cell phones too, including sapphire. So, Apple, you know, they've been setting up this sapphire glass factory in Arizona that we've kind of mentioned on and off. But Apple this week kind of it leaked that they bought enough sapphire glass furnaces in the last year to manufacture all the glass for, I said it was 100 to 200 or 100 to 150 million iPhones. That's a lot. And this is the best part. They got a glimpse into the actual, orders that they've got. Not only have they actually received enough to do that, they've almost got another equal size number of furnaces coming. Apple's getting into the sapphire glass and in a huge, huge, huge way, which is really cool. I'm pretty stoked on that because that's, clearly the glass of the future. And the best part about this is, it's funny because I read this kind of stuff and, obviously that's a big deal and they're moving in that direction and there's been enough rumors or it's kind of true. But there's this part of me that, like, still is like, I don't know how big of a deal this is really. You know, is this just somebody, like, making up numbers, talking about big stuff?
Yeah.
It's like the liquid metal stuff. Obviously, liquid metal is cool, but, it's an interesting amorphous material. The material scientist in me loves it, but no iPhone's been made out of one yet. It's all still aluminum, still steel are the two primary tool, metals. So how big of a deal is it when they build a factory that does it? Well, there's Taiwanese manufacturers of the guys that have been producing most of the sapphire glass in the for Apple and for everybody at this point, because Apple uses it for the thumbprint scanners right now on the iPhone. They also use it for the lens cover on all of their phones, all the iPhones and iPads and everything. So they use a lot of sapphire glass in small quantities or small sizes, but large quantities. And they've been buying it from Taiwan, and I guess yesterday, the Taiwanese manufacturers, like, it started to leak, but they are freaking out, and because they in the last week have just started a massive rush to copyright intellectual property, because they suddenly realized that, sort of like out of the blue, Apple's going to become the biggest manufacturer of sapphire glass in the world, and they don't know what that means for them, and for the company and this technology that they've been working on for a long time. Apple has made a really, really big move here. And it's exciting because, they got this giant pile of cash and, they always threaten to use it to do cool stuff. And sometimes you just, like, get small acquisitions. You don't actually see the big movements like this. And I guess the long and short of it is I'm looking forward to the iPhone 6. I think it will be and they'll have some exciting, cool things to talk about that, it'll be bigger. as one thing, and it'll have an incredibly strong glass case on it. So, and actually the other big thing that is that's probably going to happen is as they manufacture the iWatch or whatever they're building, that's probably going to have a glass screen on it, and you know. That's actually where the biggest use of sapphire, of large pieces of sapphire glass are used, are high-end watches and mechanical digital watches, because it doesn't scratch. So that's where – that was the industry that led the, you know, sapphire glass manufacturers, you know, gave them reason to exist, was watch faces. So that's clearly another use that it can be used for. So both of them really exciting, looking forward to seeing how that goes, and it's gonna be awesome. Cool year for
yeah we'll find out. Something coming before that though are new somethings. What are they called? TLDs?
Top level domains. So obviously, I don't know. If you're listening to the show, you probably have an idea what a top level domain is. But in case you don't, a top level domain, a TLD, is it's basically your .com. So when you're on when you're online and you put in your www.whatever, you know, dot the end, you can do .com, .biz, those, the .coms, what comes after the second dot, that third aspect is considered your top level domain. It's kind of like, it's the highest category of different areas that you, before it starts all the routing, that's where the computers, as it tries to figure out where you are and where you're trying to go, that's what it looks at first. And there's been a decent list of them for the longest time, .com, .biz, .org, stuff like that, .gov. In the last couple of years, they opened up the country domains, which are kind of fun because they've given people, you know, all sorts of different dot whatevers they can do. So it's like Mexico is .mx. And Chad is .td, and my personal favorite is St. Helena, because they're .sh. So if you wanted to go with something like, trying to think of a good example, that's not my example. whatever, I'll give it. I've always wanted to do a movie trailer review site and do little short, witty, hopefully, reviews of trailers. And I wanted to call it trailertrash.com, which don't go there unless you want to be bombarded by porn. But you could get trailertrash.sh and it would read trailer.
Is that available?
Yeah, it is.
Why don't you buy it?
It's expensive.
How much is it?
$100. 100 bones. Dude, a year? Okay. You talked me into it. So people have gotten creative with it. Well, they've now gotten into what they call, they've now expanded the list of general top-level domains, and they call it the new gold rush. What's unfair here is they actually gave people, they gave like insiders access to these early, so Apple, Google, you know, your big companies.
It's not insiders. It's people who already own. They can register their existing registered
I think McDonald's
names.
Should have to compete with, you know, Joe Schmo off the street. If Joe Schmo gets McDonald's.food first, he should win.
It's not fair.
I know. It's, yeah. No, life's not
fair.
Well,
and that's the only one that McDonald's can go after, right? They can't.
Yeah.
Whatever names they've trademarked are the ones that they're allowed to grab. If they haven't trademarked it, they can't buy it. And I think that's fair.
Yeah, it's true. You know, but there's still a lot that you can go out. You know, it's still a pretty big deal. I mean, you know, there's all sorts that you can get. One of the cool ones that I saw, .name. This is, you know, so you get like Matthew.name. And this is actually the use case of this one. This one's a really interesting one because it's like it's actually designed so that multiple people can get the same one. Because what you're supposed to be able to use it for is Matthew@furlough.name. So you can set up a your own web client for your own, or your own email client using your last name. But if there was another furlough out there, James, you could also register a subgenre of furlough.com. So you could have James at furlough.com. I could have Matthew at furlough.com. Because there's only a limited number of them, and they want to give people, you know, access to them, especially if you're Chinese, it gets even more complicated. So that was important to come up with a system like that.
Wait, say how does that work again?
I don't know. I only
read
about
the .coms. You run out of. Is that what you were saying?
Well, yeah. Like so, in you know, so like .com. Obviously, if you get furlough.com, nobody else can register furlough.com. So you have furlough.com. So you can give me a Matthew at furlough.com. But if you don't want to give it to somebody, they can't get it. Whereas, you know, if we were feuding and you bought furlough.name and had James at furlough.name and all I wanted Matthew at furlough.name, I could go through, I could register that. And like I said, I'm not exactly sure how that works out, but, I only started to read about it, but that's one of the things that goes with that. That's not, most of these general ones are like .com where one person gets the, you know, the name.com. So a couple of them out there is like .bike, which I think is interesting. .aero, airport transportation or air transport industry. .asia is a new one. .clothing. So like Calvin Klein has got Calvin Klein .clothing, and you can actually type that in right now and it'll bring you to the calvinklein.com website. Estate is out there, so for real estate, so you could go furlough.estate if you wanted, furloughfamilyhomes.estate, not to give away your secrets. You got gallery, graphics, guru. Guru was a big one. Apple went through and copyrighted basically, or got basically everything they have a copyrighted term for .guru, so apple.guru, iphone.guru. iMac.guru. They got a bunch of the dot gurus right off the bat because they like that. And it's kind of how they roll. Dot jobs, which I think is interesting. This one's a TLD designed to be added after the names of established companies with jobs to advertise. At this time, owners of company.com domains are not permitted
that
to post jobs
a while,
to third party.
Right?
Has it?
I thought so. Maybe not.
Maybe. Mm. Photography, plumbing, I guess. Post, which I think is .post for the postal service, which there's a certain irony there. As the internet is what's killing the postal industry. and then obviously .xxx has been out there for a while, but it's cool. .ventures, .travel, it's neat. These are kind of fun. I keep wanting to come up with something clever. And the other cool part about this is that, like, as this becomes a bigger and bigger thing, all those ones that I've wanted forever but couldn't get, like frobots.com, if you can come up with a
Frobots?
Yeah. It's a good one.
Why have you wanted...
I want to do like I wanted to do a robotics website, sort of just like an educational thing. I think that would be fun. And
so that one was already taken.
Yeah, Frobots is already taken. F Robots, yeah, yeah. And you know what the worst part about it is? They're not even using it as Frobots. They own Frobots. There's one that's Frobots, Frobotics, and something else. And none of them have a robot wearing a fro. I'm like, guys, come on. Just like,
this is so obvious.
I say this writes itself, guys. Jeez Louise. So that drives me crazy.
Oh,
so so now I gotta like, and oh, you know what? Frobots.guru. That's the one I gotta get. I gotta go and get that. Because that's what I want it to be. I want it to be an informational, like, you can come here for cool information. And, yeah, that's the one I need. Don't
think
anybody...
these things will actually take off? Do you think they'll actually take off?
No, they're all designed to reroute back to .coms. At this point, say what you're going to say.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I still feel like the .com is just, like, it's so standard that the average person wouldn't even understand, where it's like .limo or dot limited, I guess I would get that one. But, you know, like dot community, really, I'm going to look at it and be like, check us out at www.yourschool.community.
Well, I think there's two reasons why they take off. Number one, in 20 years, every variation of .com will be taken. So if you want something that is, you know, a legitimate use of .plumbing is a perfect example, because our dad buys there's a company that he buys equipment, or, you know, parts from for, he does underground plumbing. He does lays piping and stuff, digs ditches. And one of the suppliers that he buys from was trying to come up with a website name. And the owner was like, I don't mind us building a website, but it's got to have a good URL. And all the ones they wanted were taken. And our dad finally, like, had a moment of, like, duh, this is obvious, and called up the owner and was like, what you got to go with is SanJoseNameOfCompany.com. Obviously. And the guy was like, oh, perfect. And that's what they went for, which is works for now until somebody else does something similar. Whereas they could go, you know, name of the company dot plumbing. And, you know, you could. So, yeah, yeah. I think at this point, they all act as rerouting stuff where it's like, you know, Calvin Klein owns everything. Calvin, you know, each one of these, it owns Calvin Klein dot name, Calvin Klein dot museum, Calvin Klein dot signals, singles, just in case, because, you know, you don't want to lose it. But I think, you know, there comes a point where it makes sense that Frobotics is a perfect example of, you know, where I want it and can't get it, and nobody else is using it the way I want it. So, you know, and are people going to find it? They can Google it. And if they're, and the thing this is the thing. What you're going to Google is, you know, how does pulse width modulation work? And if my website's popular, it doesn't matter if it's a .com or a .guru, I'm going to come up first. And eventually people will go, yeah, if you want to learn, just go to, you know, frobotics.guru. And content will sell these new ones, or necessity. You've run out of .com names and you don't have another other options, and then content, at some point people will get accustomed to the fact that there are these other top level domains, and, you know, and just the nature of how the internet works at this point with, you know, search engines. It's kind of point, you know, it's actually the reason why I like the idea of this, because I don't mind going different routes. Because in the end, nobody's going to type in the name themselves. They're just going to Google it. You know, I want to go to Frobotics. And that's the thing, is if you get enough traffic and you have enough links and you do everything you're supposed to, you know, for your search engine optimization, Frobotics is going to return .guru first in Google, because I'm the most popular website and it doesn't matter what mine is. But I got the name I wanted. So... Oh, I think they will take off. I think it could take another 10 years. But I think at some point you'll notice that there'll just be these subtle changes. Popular websites start, you know, your mega companies. And then I think, I guess, obviously what happens is at some point, I get big enough where I can just, you know, I get enough traffic for robotics.com where I can buy, or frobotics.guru, or I can buy frobotics.com and reroute.com to guru.
Like delicious.
Right, exactly. So, I don't know. I think so. I think it's good. I think they'll, you know, they'll be for your really big companies. Yeah. Well, for companies, exactly. Yeah, you'll keep the .coms and they'll be the predominant, most used ones. But I think for, you know, everybody else, your hobbyists, as people get better and better at this and it becomes more and more common to have your own websites, it'll make sense to use these other ones.
Okay. I'm going to say one more. Believe it or not, it's already been 2 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. So just real quick, which I don't know if that's going to be possible, but we're going to try it. Twitter did their quarterly announcements this last week. Didn't turn out very well. Their stock was down like 20 to 25%.
That's
afterwards
significant.
Yeah, they lost like $8 billion in market value, and the big question was why. And the big reason was that their list of new users only grew like 3.8% over the previous quarter.
Wow, not many percents.
Yeah, and so the problem is that they have a growth problem, essentially. So they went from, like, back in Q1 of 2011, they were at 68 million, and they grew, it looks like, 25%. And then they went to 17 and 18, and then they dropped to 9 and hung out in the 9 or 10% range until Q2 of 2013, it looks like. And then at that point in time, they dropped down to 5 and then the 4, and now they're just above 4, it looks like, at 3.8. And so their issue that they're running into is that they're no longer growing. And that's why people are like, oh boy. And you know how the stock market works, right? If you're not growing, and specifically growing faster, this is the opposite, you get hammered for it.
Right.
And then they also showed a chart looking at tweets during big television events, which I can't see the whole chart right now for some reason, but it's clearly flattening out.
Right.
2013. And then the other one, which I thought was super interesting about them, is that they were saying that, so their current active user numbers are 241 million. Okay. So just under a quarter of a billion, which is important because about a billion people have actually signed up for Twitter. And so they're kind of like, their retention rate is somewhere in the mid 20% range.
Really. Wow.
And yeah, so they say it's not great. And so their whole thing was like, Twitter needs to figure out a way to attract more people. But more importantly, they were saying they need to fix that leaky bucket problem. And people sign up, they get confused, or they don't understand it, and then they're out. And so that's one of the things where Twitter's trying to figure out how to do that, how to make the onboarding process, the tutorial section, a little bit better. So like one of the things they're going to start doing is they'll go through your phone book and they'll suggest people that you know in your phone book that are already on Twitter so that you can start tweeting them and replying and, you know, getting, which I'm kind of like, you guys haven't been doing that. I mean, I've been on it long enough. I don't know. I assumed that already existed and I just didn't see it because I've been on it long enough.
Right.
But, apparently it hasn't on iOS, and they just released it for Android. So I'm like, okay, well, that will definitely help. And and the other one that I think is going to drive people nuts is they're experimenting with sending more. First, they're going to send emails to inactive accounts, being like, hey guys, what's up? And I love this one. They're going to send vaguely worded emails to people saying like, you have a direct message. Now, we're not going to tell you what it is. You have to go to Twitter.com to actually read it. Sorry.
Oh, jeez. That is annoying.
Which Facebook does some of the time. You know, we're like, hey, you've got, you know, someone liked your status.
What? You know, it's like, funny. I mean,
Which status was that?
Say, Google, or Gmail separates your emails into stuff that's useful, stuff that's selling you stuff, and then social interaction.
Yeah.
And let me, so on my obvious, I'm the sort of person that leaves things unread, which I know drives people nuts to see, but I don't care. I don't read everything. It's fine. So on my primary, I have about 5 things that are currently unread of, I think I've got 60 showing. On my promotions, I've got probably 10 that are unread of the 60 showing. On social, I have none read of the 60
nice.
That's showing. So
there you go.
I personally, that has absolutely no effect on me, and I wonder how many people are in similar boats because of, you know, innovations in Google and Yahoo Mail and all that.
Yeah, good question. So Twitter, not to say they're in trouble, I don't think that's the case, but they've got a growth issue and a retention issue that they need to solve quickly.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Otherwise, their stock price is getting hammered, which everyone said they were overvalued a little bit, but it was kind of like, whoa, we weren't expecting it to be that bad. But yeah, there you go, man. There you go. Any last thoughts, words of wisdom before we wrap this up?
Seriously, go see the Lego movie.
All right.
It's awesome.
I will have to make a point to do that. Very, very cool. Okay, let's see here. I gotta get all set up here before I do this. Well, everybody, thank you for. Oh man, I pressed the wrong button. I hate it. Thank you for joining us. My name is James Furlow, and my builder of a brother is Matthew Furlow. And so we will talk next time. Thank you.